deepest needs. And what we learned about last week was the city of Nazareth, the key places of our Savior's birth. Nazareth was a place that was a podunk town. Nothing was there. It was unseen. It was not important. It was just a minor town. There was probably just 50 families that lived there on 10 acres, not like it is today. And y'all are having too much fun on that back row. Give me a good amen. Not even jokes me until, but we're good. I love y'all. Amen. Believe in God for y'all. So anyway, just the thought of a little town that didn't have anything. What good could come out of Nazareth? Even one of the disciples talked about that. And it just showed the importance of that you're not insignificant, that you're not unimportant, that you're not small. God can do something large in your heart today. And so do you have your message notes, by the way? If you need them, they're on the message notes. A couple of people, if you need them, raise your hand high. We're ready to go on that. We have a beautiful lady here. Anybody else? Somebody else? Yeah, right there. Thank you, Jesus. And so today I want to speak to you today about Bethlehem and how to untangle your Christmas lights. And I actually found these in my garage because I was, had them in the HEB sack that I stored them away. But I thought last year I put them together a lot easier. And so I tested them out, so I kind of wanted to prove this illustration of just plugging them in. And thank God when they built our new building, we were able to put a plug right in here, right in there. And but you know what? Look what happened. They were working a minute ago, but they're not working anymore. Isn't that a mess? I think it even adds a little bit to the illustration. Thank you, Roger. Amen. That you would even be like this. If one light bulb was out in one of these things, it's not going to light. Our lives are sometimes this messy. How am I going to entangle? How am I going to get through this mess? What is going to become of me if this thing's not solved? If this thing doesn't unravel? There are YouTube videos now. Thank God that they have YouTube. Man, you can fix your own dryer, right? You can fix you put a battery in a car. You can do all sorts of things. But they even show you how to untangle something on YouTube like this, because I looked it up. I didn't have anything to do this week, so I looked it up. And how to untangle your Christmas lights. You start at the very beginning of the end of it, and then, you know what, this is going to take me about an hour. And you just don't have that time, right, everybody? Spiritually, sometimes, though, our lives can represent this. The light's not even working. Something's broken. Something's a mess in my life and my family. How is this ever going to become? I want to show you today how Bethlehem, how God can even untangle something in your life today because of the Bethlehem lights in your life today, and how God can make something that's a mess into a masterpiece. Are you ready to do that? Yeah, with me? Amen. I believe we can do that. In Luke chapter 2, on the big screen, you can look it up in your phone if you can't see it on the screen today. And we can look at God's word together, Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus has issued a decree that he should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census taken, verse 3. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph, who was from the town of Bethlehem originally, but he moved up because he saw this hot babe named Mary. He was going to marry her, and he resided there. So location, 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 right, everybody? Locations matter to God. There's just different. So he went back to Bethlehem to get counted because he belonged to the house of David. Somebody say king line. Yeah, it's a kingly line that he was part of. And so he went there to register with Mary, who had been pledged to marry him, was expecting a child. And while they were there, here it comes, the baby came. It was time to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloth and placed him where? Are y'all watching with me here? Yeah? Yeah. And because there was no room in the guest room available for them. I'd like to just, think about that really quick about the guest housing there in Bethlehem. The census was so massive that all the Holiday Inns were taken, the Motel Sixes, there was nothing, not even a garage left for Jesus. I think about my home whenever I read this in my heart. Is there room for Jesus still in my heart today? Am I crowding him out even as a Christian? Am I having it filled with such other things? Sometimes even in our own house, we have everything set up. If the guy with the red beard, the guy with the white beard and the red hat, that's the devil, right? No, you don't want the devil to come over. The guy in the red suit, he can even come over. But what about Jesus? Ah, Jesus, you embarrass us. And none of that stuff at our home. We're going to have these other people come over. We can't talk about Christ at Christmas. And I think sometimes we crowd because of all the activities that we do, that God's not even in our home during Christmas and what it should be about. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the first service because y'all are holy. Amen. And so verse 8 says this, and while the shepherds were living out, these were the nomads. These were the guys that were the second. No one would accept a shepherd's court testimony because they were all liars, thieves, and backward people. So they weren't allowed in court because they witnessed it. These shepherds, no, they're not reliable. They're people of low. So this is where God showed up first to these people that were the nobodies in life. And it gives me a hope. How about you? Amen. If God qualifies them, how about us? Why not me? Step up to the table. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their sheep. They were kind of getting sleepy. And they woke up, man. Look at verse 9. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. An angel will make you change your diaper. Give me a good amen. Amen. And the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were what? They were terrified. Are y'all with me this morning? They were terrified. No wonder you're not with me. It's not. How about reading verse? Okay, they were terrified. Okay, let's go back to verse 10. Are we there with me? Let's read this together since you're not having any fun. Read it together on three. Y'all can see that. I put that in Arial 48 point, so it's a little bit larger for the back row to see. Y'all can see that, right? So let's read it together on three. One, two, three. But the angel said to them, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And this will be a sign to you. Lord, I want you to untangle the Christmas lights in my life today. I want you to get this mess unraveled because I need to hear from you today. Amen. Micah, a prophet in the Old Testament, 700 years before Christ. 700 years. They've been saying Jesus is coming back for 2,000 years. So we're okay if he hadn't come the first time. And they were still believing 700 years that he was going to come in the future for the first time. But they expected this king riding on a white stallion to demolish all the kingdoms on this earth. And they were looking not for a kingdom. They were looking for the kingdom that should be upside down. Not the right way as man sees it, but a kingdom in the spirit. And that's where our view needs to be. In Micah chapter 2, verse 5 on the big screen. But you, Bethlehem, you're the smallest town in Judah. Your family is almost too small to count. Yeah, y'all ain't nobody. But look at this. But the ruler of Israel will come from you to rule over for me. From the beginning of ancient times, from long ago. Somebody say Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. Amen. From the very beginning, Jesus existed. From the very end, Jesus is still going to be around. You haven't seen Jesus' best act yet. Amen. It ain't over. Amen. Till he says it's over, right? There'll never be a time that Jesus doesn't exist. And you need to hear that this morning. It's just the Spirit prompts me. God's always going to be with you. Amen. There is nothing that you can do. He's always waiting for you to call upon him. We push him out of the way, but God's always there. We say, well, I put him on the cross again. He's tired of being on the cross. Let him loose from the cross. He's forgiven your sins already. Let him come into your life and experience the very best today. What's significant about Bethlehem? What does it communicate to you as a person? You very personally in your spirit. What does it communicate? How does it minister to us? What does it do for you and I today? What does it do for Living Faith Church today? I'm glad you asked that today. The entire Christmas story, the Apostle Paul got it into his heart as a first century follower of Christ. And he got the message of Christ so much into his heart that he wrote to this church in Galatia and wrote this book, letter of Galatians to them. And he said this in Galatians chapter 4. Are you there with me? Verse 4. Let's read it together on three. Come on, you're going to be able to talk back today in church. You're going to be able to say something. Not talk to your neighbor, but talk the word of God. Is that good? Let's declare the word of the Lord together on three. One, two, three, go. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption to sonship, because you are. God sent his spirit into his sons, into our hearts. The spirit cries out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. Amen. Yeah. Wasn't the praise team, the worship team, incredible when they sang that song? Didn't you feel like just walking through that Red Sea without getting wet, amen, and just being set free right at that moment? God's timing is always perfect. He knew exactly when to split the Red Sea. Pharaoh was pursuing. The army of Pharaoh, the mighty army, was right. God knew exactly when the Word should become flesh, and that was Jesus. God knew exactly when the Word would get some carne, incarnate, la carnita, amen. I love carnitas. How about you? God knew when that. I'm getting hungry up here. God knew exactly when the Word would become flesh and dwelt among us. That was the right time. I would have picked out a better time. How about you? There was this perfect tyrant. The Roman Empire was awful. It was an oppressive regime. It was like a mafia. A mafia being in charge. It was a carpenter. Why not make it come from a line of millionaires? He was a line of a king. Why did he have to be a carpenter during that time? His earthly daddy, a young virgin named Mary, 14. God does things in His time. Not my time, the way His time looked. My time isn't, that's why we don't even understand what heaven will be like, because our earthly mind can't, no eye has seen, no ear has heard of all that God has for, because we can't comprehend how good, we think heaven is here on this earth. We got a secure block and alarm system on our house. That's not what heaven's about. Heaven's totally out of our mind because we can't comprehend how good heaven will be. So don't bank everything on this earth. It'll disappoint you. You'll come up short if you say, I banked everything on earth because something awful could happen and wipe everything. God forbid, but that's why we rely on heaven today. Amen. And when the Word comes down, nothing returns void from heaven. The Word doesn't return void. It does this bounce back. That's why they would want it in the Old Testament to happen, that the Word would come and become flesh in Jesus. And they were speaking it and prophesying it for centuries and centuries. And finally the Word, because whatever is spoken about God and His testament, comes down to earth. So that's why you need to speak good life over yourself and good health over your life and prosperity and blessing over your life and peace. Because it's spoken about, it's in heaven, and let heaven come to earth. I'm going to help you with the hard ones, right? When you speak the Word, it becomes life. Instead of speaking worry or speaking awful things or speaking things that are negative, get that bad vibe out of here. Roll down the window and devil, get out of here, amen. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to listen to what God has to do. Don't tell that to your wife, amen. It doesn't go well. I've learned that. Give me a good amen. The hard way, amen. And so glory to God, man. What we speak, and Jesus is the perfect example when He was born today. And your miracle, your deepest need, whatever it might be, speak it out, but speak Scripture word about it. I am healed. I am blessed. I am of the Lord today. I am the Son of God today. I'm one of His children today. Amen? And you speak that, and God has a way of putting meat on it, and it becomes the... That's why when they cry it out, Abba, Father, in the Galatians passage, they cried out, it meant that you called out, Daddy! Doesn't mean, well, where's Daddy? He ain't coming. No, this was a cry in the tense that Daddy's going to show up. What mom or dad, when they hear their child cry, they know when they're faking it. Let him go. He's going to sleep. He'll fall asleep. I know that cry. But when they have that cry, how many ever heard that cry that, hey, something happened to him. I got to get there. I got to get out of this door. I got to get off my lazy boy. And I got to get out because I heard my child scream like he hasn't screamed before. And God hears the cry of every one of us in this room when we cry out to Him. I got to be a preacher. I got to know the right lingo. No, just call out, Abba, Father. Daddy, help me. Help me with my children. Help me with my career. Help me with my family. And God hears your cries today. He loves you today. Right, everybody? Amen. In the messy, tangled mess of our lives, God will show up and meet your deepest needs today. Maybe that someone doesn't even know about today. God shows up that way. I'm going to give you three powerful principles that you can take back with you and use this week in your life, in the busyness of this season. And you look about how to untangle. Number one, untangle because of the Son. You can get untangled because of the Son of God. Not the sun and the sky and the moon. Amen. The Son of God today. John, the beloved, the one that was closest to Jesus, he wrote at the very beginning his Christmas story, and the Word became flesh. It says in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Message Bible, and the Word became flesh and blood, and somebody say, moved into the neighborhood. That Message Bible just has a great way of devoting itself to our lives, and we have a devotion life when we read the Bible in different translations, and God literally moved into the neighborhood. When you moved into your neighborhood, it got better because you're a Christian. You're God's child. My neighborhood, man. Yeah, your neighborhood. God is there because you're there. That's why everything should get better in your apartment complex, because you're there. That's why in your workplace, everything should get better because you're there. God moved into the neighborhood. You took God with you into the neighborhood, right, everybody? Y'all ain't hearing me today, amen. I better preach to that Baptist church down the street, amen. They'd get it today. Thank God for the bridge that He builds towards people. And He did it for us as an example. He built a bridge. Jesus moved into the neighborhood. He moved into the neighborhood to have fellowship with you, to have a relationship with you. Thank God for the Son of God. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son. He's a chip off the old block, right, everybody? You ever seen a son? He looks like his dad, or they look chip off the old block. That's how Jesus looked, amen, spiritually. Generous inside and out, true from start to finish. John saw the physical Jesus, and he was remembering the physical Jesus, and he was saying, this is what I saw. The Word became flesh today. God sent His only Son. He was majestic. He was holy. He was righteous. He was perfect. He was the Son of God, the Prince of Heaven, the darling Prince of Heaven. He was all that, and He came to earth. And you know what the first thing He saw, that Prince of Heaven? He opened His eyes, and He saw hay. Not hay. He saw hay that was kind of just smelly, moldy. He looked over, and He smelled something as the Son of God, and He smelled camels. He smelled a farm animal that stunk. The Son of God experienced earth, not even like us today, because many of us were born in a hospital, right, everybody? It was sterile, but not Jesus. He was born in this bacteria-infested environment that could have brought disease, and that's where the baby was born, Jesus. Yeah, that's where perfect Jesus was born, in this place that nobody should have been born in. But He did that common. He did that even off to the side of the tracks just for you, because He loves you that much. God loves you that He had to get to you, and He showed up in the most unlikely time, just like your miracle can show up in the most unlikely time. Yeah, it really can. Amen. When everything's against you, God still shows up, because God meets your deepest needs today. Right, everybody? Yeah, there might be guilt, there might be despair right now, but God can still show up. Why Bethlehem? It was 70 miles away from Nazareth. That's about from here to Austin, isn't it? Imagine if you walked it, because that's what they did. In a caravan or on the back of a donkey, like your Christmas cards are showing that Jesus and Mary were on that through the midnight hour. Well, it was cold at least. At least they weren't sweating. It was December. Probably not, because Israel's climate's a lot like California all year round, so it was probably hot. And here, the other thing I'm going to tell you about is Mary. You know how Mary was 8 months pregnant. You ladies, you've been pregnant, some of you in this room today. Can you imagine riding on a donkey 8 months pregnant, or walking in a caravan? I think Mary probably had a conversation with Jesus. With God. Jesus here, maybe. Yeah, Jesus stopped kicking. Amen. But God saying, God, you told me I was going to have the Son of God, and here we are. And I'm 8 months pregnant. I think you could have done this a little bit better. I question God sometimes like that. Like, God, why am I going through this? And why won't they understand? Well, you promised me that all this life and life abundant, you promised that my bills wouldn't pile up, or I wouldn't come up in short if I tithed. And now everything's broken, God. Why? And God has a way of showing up to meet your deepest need at that very moment. What was Joseph's deepest need, the earthly father of Jesus? Well, that his bride was protected and that his son was born. That was what he was concerned. I would have been worried about that as a dad. How about you? Hey, man, she's big. She's about to go, man, and there's no hospital around. Where are we going to put her? What's going to happen? We can't. As a man of the house, how am I going to provide? There's no motels. We've been driving all night long and we can't find not even a Motel 6 open right now. Joseph had that on his mind. Mary, the Son of God, was within her, and it was going to be this generational blessing upon people and a blessing. And how is this going to happen? That was her deepest need. So do you have problems? Maybe. But your deepest need is important to God. God answers prayer, I've noticed, in a couple of ways. I've noticed about God, He never has said no. God never has said no in His prayer. Because a parent, when a child is obedient, when a child is doing everything that he should, what mom or dad doesn't do everything he can for his child? They'll buy the video game. They'll stay in the line to get the latest game. They'll buy the shoes, right? If they'll do whatever. They'll put it on a credit card. Amen? Or oh me. They'll get whatever they have to for that child because that child's been good. A parent will do whatever it takes. So God would never say no. A parent would never say no to a child of God that's acting right. Give me a good amen. Amen. So God answers us in three ways. Are you ready to hear them? And it's never no. It's always yes. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. He said yes. It could be, somebody say, not yet.
Not yet.
And here's the one that has blessed me over and over because I always thought it was no. I have something, God will tell you, I have something better in mind for you. I'm going to give you something better. It's not yet, but wait on me, Mario. Don't get ahead of me, Juanito, amen, or whatever your name might be today, amen. Just throwing that out to you today, amen. Nothing is what's held from my child today. Our need is to trust God and to keep leaning on God today. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
And so the second thought is this, I'm untangled today with my mess because of redemption. Somebody shout redemption.
Redemption.
In the Old Testament, there are books that are written, and they're called the books of the law. And the law said, if you messed up once, you're guilty of every one of them. You got to start all over again. There are like 600 laws in the Old Testament. And they're amazing laws, and God put them in there so they could be read and followed by His people, and we are His people. But we look at them and they're just, I can't do all that. There's this one law that says, do not eat bat. Bat. I'm doing pretty good on that one. I haven't eaten bat. Is that okay with everybody? I've eaten barbacoa, but I hadn't eaten bat. Give me a good amen. So all these laws, and if you break one of the laws, it's not going to go well with you. And how they broke them, just like we do, they would get all good. Revival would happen Christmas time. Everybody's devoted to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I love you, I love you. But then, man, January would come. February would come. And they would wane. Well, we got this going on. And we want to go do this. And we are not dedicated to you as much, Lord, this season. And they would do it with other little gods, little g gods. They would worship those little g gods. And we do the same thing. We're not perfect. With this American culture, we worship our television sets and we worship all the trappings of life. And God wants you blessed. But He doesn't want that to take His place because God is still jealous.
Amen.
I'm going to finish you off now. Are you ready? I'm about to finish you now. This is, how could I not, when things are not obeying God, this is what was going to happen. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. A curse is going to come upon you. And this is biblical. You're going to have terror. Diseases are going to come upon you. Your life is going to drain away from you. Oh, yeah, when you lay your seed in the ground to heart, your seed's going to die. And when you enemies come in, they're going to take over. They're going to take your children away from you. They're going to become slaves. You're going to be scattered to the othermost parts of the earth if you have other things before me. Isn't that awful? Wouldn't you want to obey God so none of that would happen to you? I would, but they would wane from that. You would become so famished that your children are going to starve. You're going to become scattered. And eventually, the law is going to have to be paid or you're going to have to die. Someone's going to have to die because the law demanded that. I don't think I would have done real well in that society, in that culture. How about you? And they didn't. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came because He fulfilled the law. Because the law wasn't meant to make us something puffed up like they did in Jesus' day. These guys called the Pharisees, They would wear the law around their neck and say, hey, I've done it all. Look at the law. I got it around my neck. And the shiny jewelry, look at me. And Jesus said, you know what? You're whitewashed walls. Because you look good on the outside and you think you've obeyed everything, but you're a liar and you're spoiled inside. You're rotten on the inside. Because no one's arrived in this room. No one's arrived 2,000 years ago. No one's perfect in this room, right, everybody? That's why we need a Savior that's done it all, that's been perfect, so He can come and give us life today. Right, everybody? Amen. The law was never to make us self-righteous and I'm all that in a bag of chips. No, the law was to make us saying, I'm so inadequate. I need Christ. I'm not going to pull my head down, but I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I have something on my lips now. I've been set free and I owe it all to Jesus. Right, everybody? Hey, I was in my office, which is I have two offices in the church. I got one over here, and then I got one in the restroom. And so before service, I'm in there, and I'm looking at stuff, and I'm kind of nervous because I still get nervous, believe it or not. And that one guy told me he walked in the restroom. I thought I was going to be in there by myself a while, but he walks in and kind of messed up everything. And I said, welcome to my office. And he said, hey, are you ready? And I said, I'm trying to get ready, man. I still get... Be careful with a person that says, oh, I'll do it. I'll show up. I can do it. You should always have this thing that you haven't arrived, that there's more to do. Amen. There's more that we need of God. Do you understand that today? Be careful with that sort of person because I still wonder, man, why do y'all come? Why are y'all here to hear this? Man, I need help. Give me a good amen. And you, don't walk out now. Amen. I'm going to do better. Amen. Jesus redeems us from the curse of the law. He really does. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Are you there with me? Look at what the curse brought Jesus. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Thank you, Jesus. Right, everybody? A curse in the Old Testament would cause that person to be hung on a tree. And so the Apostle Paul now saw it in the New Testament. The Roman Empire, how they would crucify people. For it is written, cursed is everyone that's hung on a pole. Yeah, the Old Testament would hang them on a pole. And the New Testament would hang them on a cross. And Jesus redeemed us. All the inadequacies that we have, Christ fulfilled them. Amen, on the cross. Christ took upon all of our shame today. People in the days of Jesus, when he was preaching to them, one time he was preaching so good, that they said, give us bread. They said, give us bread. And Jesus announced, I am the bread. And they looked at Jesus as this person that could really provide something for them because they saw him feed 5,000 people. They saw him do all these marvelous things. And they said, certainly this guy's going to be able to be someone that we need him to be at this very hour. He's going to be our knight in shining armor. He's going to redeem us from this Roman oppressive army. And they said, give us bread, Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you're missing it. I'm the bread. You got to take me. If you take me, you'll have life. They said, no, we want that material bread. We want that stuff, that material bread. No, if you have me, you have everything you need. You don't need a raise at your job. You don't need a better husband. You don't need a girlfriend, young man. You need Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. Jesus has a way of fixing us first before he'll fix a marriage. Jesus has a way of fixing our physical bodies before we go in and hear the doctor's report again. Amen. Jesus has that way of doing that today. And so the bread represented something material. And God's about blessing you. He's come to give you life abundant. We studied about that last week. But God's more so about the bread of life that he would give you today. Bread's pretty common, isn't it? Yeah, it is. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, are you there with me? It says this. Why don't you read it with me out loud, not out soft, on 3, 1. Declare the word of the Lord. Come on this side. Help me out this side. Bring it in. Amen. This side over here, I'm pointing towards you. Amen. Read it on Facebook. 1, 2, 3, go. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I have told you this explicitly because... Amen. Y'all arrived at the same time. Everybody got the reward all at once. Amen. Even if you came in late, you still got your reward. Give me a good amen. If I follow Jesus, my washing machine will never break. If I follow Jesus, I'm going to become rich. And I hope that none of those things ever happen to you, but the likelihood your washer is going to break one day. And you might get a cold, and I don't want that. But Jesus, you don't follow Jesus so everything's perfect. You follow Jesus that he'll be with you no matter what. And that's what separates people that don't follow Christ and do follow Christ, that God is with you. That's why you can call out and cry out, Abba, Father. You can make the cry, Abba, Father, and God will hear your prayer today. Your deepest need can be met by the house of bread today. And Bethlehem was called the house of bread because the word Beth means house, and the word Lem means, in the Hebrew, it means the house of bread, the house of bread. And so the house of bread can provide for you today. They say about 1,000 people lived in Bethlehem at that time. And it wasn't anything important at that time. That's why Jesus made it important. But the house of David, the house of bread was provided. I love the Olive Garden. How many love those little garlic sticks that they give you? Aren't those addicting? Those only come out by prayer and fasting, in the sense of breaking that habit off. Y'all thought I went the other direction. I came this way. I'm going to swing this way. Amen. I used to be addicted to those, but man, I prayed and fasted, and God delivered me from that bread demon at the Olive Garden. It's house bread. Amen. That they bring you the house bread at that Italian restaurant. And it's common. And God wants to identify with all of us in this room that not only if you're rich, but if you're poor, everyone needs bread. It's a common staple. And that's why Jesus became the bread of life for you, so you can identify them. Well, I haven't done anything important. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm really bad off. Well, it doesn't matter. Bread's for everyone. That's why manna came from heaven for the people of God. It was like a frosty flake that came down and provided for them for 40 years in the desert. Do you understand that today? Why wasn't Jesus born in a house of gold? Why was he born in a stable, in a sheep pen? Why was he born that way? So he could identify with you, because he loves you. The third principle is this: untangled because somebody shout adoption. It's a wonderful image of adoption when Jesus says through Galatians that he will be adopting sons, God the Father, and you'll become an heir. We've rescued two dogs. And I ought to be on a TV show as a hero because I have two dogs that I've rescued. And one dog, Irma found, he was going to be, you know, he was shown on TV. They said, come get these dogs at the Humane Society. And Irma told me, this is true. I'm not lying. God's here. He said, go get him for me. So I go off and we named him Teddy. They named him Teddy. I call him Tedster Ted because that's a cooler name for a man. Is that okay? Because he's a boy dog. Years later, there was another dog, and his name was Jojo, and we had to rescue him because he had nowhere to go. And I don't like the name Jojo. The girls do, but I call him Joe. And sometimes when the Spurs do good, like they did last night, I call him Ginobili. Amen. Jojo came from another home, and I started recognizing something of him along with other things that Irma can tell you about. But one of the things about Joe was that he... When I grabbed a broom and he was near me, check this out. He would get real frightful, and I'm doing my Joe imitation. He would get like something happened. I recognize, hey, ¿qué tiene este? You know, with a broom. And I recognized after a while that Joe would get scared because somebody probably used to beat him with a broom. And that dogs don't forget, man. They know who's kind to them. They know who's good to them. That those dogs are awesome, aren't they? Let me not get on that cat subject, but let me go on with dogs. Heaven's good, amen. And so now, you know, I'm trying to make Joe read The Battlefield of the Mind with Joyce Meyer so he leaves the past. He didn't have that past memory. Y'all are crazy. Yeah, he'll get it. Just needs to get redeemed, right, everybody? So Jesus is recorded by John in John chapter 1, verse 11, about how he's now born into human hearts. In John chapter 1, verse 11, is the word became flesh, and he continues in verse 11. He says this, and he came to which was his own, his very own family, his very own people, the Jewish people. And they did not receive him as his own. And yet, to all that did receive him, to those that believed in his name, these were people that eventually believed in him, he gave them the right to become what?
Children of God.
Yeah. There's a cup that's waiting from our hearts. It's saying, I'm so empty, Lord. But there's a stream flowing. And there's a stream flowing that if you put it under that stream, God will fill that cup. And there's a penniless hand that's extended, that's found by something of inadequacy or shame or hurt. And I have nothing to offer. And God will fill your hand with his currency, the currency of heaven, that you won't run out of it. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. I will give you bread that you'll never be hungry again, that you'll never thirst again. If you drink of my cup, you'll never have to drink again. You'll be satisfied. You won't have to be searching. There was this one point in Jesus' ministry, check this out, that Jesus said, man, you got to eat my flesh. He told the people, you got to drink my blood. And they took it this way, like, what are we going to become, like these zombies? Are we going to come like these people that are vampires, they're drinking blood? And the Bible says that many, at that moment of Jesus' ministry, they went away. They said, he's lost his mind. We're not going to do that. And the disciples, which were the total contrast, Peter, they'd given up everything, their fishing boats, their nets. Peter said this, he said, Lord, no, Jesus said this, hey, are y'all going to leave too? Because he saw the multitude leaving, right? And he says, he turned towards the 12, he said, y'all going to leave too? And Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? We've left everything for you. I can imagine Peter's heart. I can't go. They didn't understand. If we have to eat you, we'll eat. If we have to drink your blood, and we're going to do. But we left everything. That's how committed they were. They understood later what it meant with the cup that we're about to do and the bread, the remembrance of Jesus. But that's what a disciple is. Even when it looks crazy, you do it. Don't check your brains at the door. I'm not going to teach you some false doctrine, but you're committed. You're all in. Amen? And that's what it's going to take, amen, as a church called Living Faith, to do what we're going to do in this next season. Are you all in? I hope so, because sometimes, even if you're tired, you've got to say, I'm all in, but I'm tired. Yeah, it's okay to march on wounded. Give me a good amen. But you're still marching. It hurt. Life has a hurt on it, but Jesus is still good. Amen. I need to finish because I'm getting some dirty looks up here. There was no room for Jesus because of a census and everything was crowded. And again, let's have some room for Jesus in our hearts today, right, everybody? And so, what's the deepest need of your life? Don't answer it out loud. But what's the deepest need in your life? Man, I need a Christmas present. I need a better job. I need to get better physically. That's not the deepest need of your life. The deepest need of your life can only be found by taking the bread. I am the bread. You get the bread. See, because the deepest need of a dead man, well, he needs a new suit and a nice coffin. That's nice and everything, but you know what a dead man needs? He needs life. And life only comes to dead people like you and I, because we're dead without Christ, through the bread of Christ, through his bread, his body. We get that way today. There's this powerful story. With this, I conclude. And nobody move around, please, because it's important that we just kind of stay still. If you got to move, move now. Leave, really, because I want you locked in for the next, like, just give me 4 more minutes. Is that cool? Am I being mean? Am I too mean right now? Thank you, one person. Amen. Thank you. I'll take that. Pastor Rick Warren, he's a great pastor in Southern California, a great church, and he's written many books, A Purpose-Driven Life. And he writes this story about, he found his picture when he was like 3 years old, and he's there, and there's a birthday cake, and it says, Happy Birthday, Jesus. He's 3 years old. And he asked his sister, who's older, he said, hey, what does this mean? He said, do you remember this picture? He said, yeah, do you remember Mom, what you said to Mom that day? Rick asked his mom as a 3-year-old child, he said, Mama, what's Christmas all about? He says, well, it's a birthday of Jesus. He says, Mama, if it's a birthday of Jesus, we ought to have cake and we ought to have Kool-Aid. Have a birthday party for Jesus. And she said, son, that's a good idea. So from that generation, it's happened. They keep having birthday parties for Jesus, the Warren household, for like 6 decades. Now, Rick's in his 60s. They've had birthday parties for Jesus every Christmas Eve, I think. And so what they do, they sing happy birthday to Jesus, and they sing Christmas carols. They have candles. They blow out the candles. And then they ask two questions, and the Warren household, in the Warren household, this has been changed. Check this out. I think we might do this as the Navas. It's important because it's about Jesus. Thank God for the presence that we get. That's abundance because we live in Christ. Nothing wrong with that. But remember whose birthday it is. It's not yours, right, everybody? And so Rick says two questions. You ask each person. Each person shares in that their family. He said, since it's Jesus' birthday, what are you thankful for this past year? What do you want to give thanks for this past year? And he says, that defines their family. The second question is asked, what gift will you bring Jesus this next year? What are you going to do with your life this coming year for Jesus? And they ask those two questions, and it says it's marked their family. I think we ought to have some cake. Amen. on Christmas Eve in each of our family units today. Amen. Let's get a cupcake at least. Give me a good amen. And so the bread of life is here, everyone. We're going to take communion this morning. The bread of life is here. It's to provide for you. It's to give you everything that you need today. You might be looking for something else, but God is better. Amen. I want to give you God. It's your choice. You can choose something else, but I want you to choose God today. Would you choose God today? Bow and pray with me right now as you pray with me. Father, I thank you that Jesus died in our place today. I thank you he took the curse of the law upon us. It says that cursed is everything that hangs on a cross. And thank you because he did that, Lord, we have a new spirit. We have a new heart today. We have a new way about us today. Thank you that we can be a new person today. I want to qualify some people here that are believers in Christ. And you by Facebook today, if you're a Christian, God's child today, you may not feel like God can answer you right now because it's a mess. You, Living Faith here, my life is so tangled, and what are we going to do if this doesn't happen or if this happens or I've gone through this valley? This is a day of new beginnings today. God is still good, and I'm going to pray for you right now if that's you. Extend your hand a little bit above your lap and like a cup, receive the gift of God right now, his goodness. God, would you be good to your child today? You're not a bad parent today. You're good today. God is good. God the Father. Our spirit cries out, Abba, Father. God heard your cry, and God is ministering to you right now. You're an heir. You're going to receive your gift right now from God today. Bless the people of the Lord today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You've never let me down, God. You've never said no to the people of God. You'll say yes. You'll say not yet. You'll say I have something better in mind. And thank you, Lord, you're the one that answers prayer. As you stay in a prayerful attitude, I never want to not give you the opportunity, if you're in this church today or watching, streaming live right now, to receive Christ. You can receive Christ right now as your Savior. Jesus can come close to you. Me? Yeah, you. Right now you're saying, I've done too much wrong. There's too much shame upon my life. You're exactly the candidate. See, because if you try to do well, you're not going to, like that law of doing all the things right and putting a bow on it, you'll never do that. And you're not perfect. There was one that was perfect, and he paid the price for your sins. He did everything perfect for you. But you got to give him your life today. And if that's you right now, you can receive Jesus as your Savior. You're far away from God. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hand is slightly lifted right where you're at. I'm not going to make a spectacle of you. I won't do that. That's not dignified. I will ask you to lift your hand, and you can put it down. I'll note your hand, and I'll lead you in a prayer from the platform. If that's you, you need to receive Christ. Would you lift your hand high and say, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to come back to him. Anyone in the house, just making sure. Anyone, just God's dealing with you. Don't walk out without Christ coming into your heart today. Father, apparently everyone is saved in this house. So we thank you, Lord. We come close to you. We've equipped the church for ministry. Thank you for the redemption that's in my hand, God, today. We moved into the neighborhood, so God's in the neighborhood now. Lord, we have an assignment today. We can take two invite cards that are holy and invite people back to Christmas Eve night service at 6 p.m. You can do the work of the gospel. Invite people back today to church. You can be equipped that way today. The good news is upon you today. In Jesus' name, everything is set. Yes, Lord, yes. Amen and amen. We're going to take communion today. All of God's children say amen.
Amen.
We're going to take communion today. Yes? Okay. And...